RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I am really happy to be joined by our next guest. He has been speaking a lot to the money and the financial agreement between the Chiefs and the state of Kansas. So I want to have him on and ask questions and learn more about it. He is Dave Helling with the Kansas City Star. Dave, how are you doing? Happy holidays.
Pretty good, Carrington. Thanks for having me on. I've hit the big time.
Absolutely. So, Dave, let's just start with this. I'm sure by now you've read the 33-page term sheet agreement between Kansas and the Chiefs. What were your big findings in reading that?
Well, it's a pretty complicated document, and there's a pretty complicated mechanism for actually buying the land and building this stadium in Kansas. One of the things your listeners should know is that it's not final. The 33-page document says in the first couple of paragraphs, hey, we've still got details to work out. And until we work them out, this thing isn't finished. And then it proceeds to explain how the mechanisms will work. So that's an important thing to know, that they're still working on parts of this. And then the other things that I noticed were, of course, government ownership of the stadium. That means the Chiefs won't have to pay property taxes on that facility, and they're going to try and figure out a way not to pay property taxes on the facility in Olathe, the practice facility and headquarters. You know, the mechanism for star bonds, how that works, who will issue them and when. That was in the 30-page or is in the 33-page document. And then the other important thing your listeners should know, the cities and counties involved are also going to be asked to kick in some money as well from their sales taxes. That hasn't been finalized at all in the agreement. The term sheet outlines how that needs to still take place. And then, of course, just to finalize, it also had the famous, the now notorious district map, which showed who would be on the hook for these sales taxes to pay off the bonds. And it includes most, if not all, of Wyandotte County and about half of Johnson County. And I tweeted that out about an hour after the announcement, and it so far it has 730,000 views on Twitter. So people are interested in how this is going to work and how much money, if any, they're going to pay for it.
Right now, we're talking to Dave Helling of the Kansas City Star. We're going through some of the financials of the agreement right now between the Chiefs and the state of Kansas. You mentioned how in the first couple pages of this agreement, it says, hey, this deal is not final. I've seen some reporting that the state of Missouri could get back into this thing. Is there any reason to believe that Kansas and the Chiefs won't finalize this deal and that the Chiefs won't be in Wyandotte County in 2031?
No. Now, the Chiefs in Wyandotte County, that's a separate issue, in part because there could always be construction delays or financing delays. Although, to be frank, it's hard to imagine the Chiefs going back to Jackson County and saying, hey, we're leaving, but we need another couple of years at Arrowhead to make it work. But I don't think there's any possibility at all that Missouri would get back into the discussions for an extension on that side of state line. In the first place, they're furious about what has happened, and the state of Missouri particularly is going to be angry about it. And second, it's just impossible, really, for Missouri to match what Kansas has done for the teams. So I think that, you know, they're going to spend the next couple of months negotiating the details. And then once that's over and they get a final document that describes all the conditions, then the Chiefs will buy or lease the land over on the Wyandotte County side. They'll transfer it to the government entity that will be created to oversee all of this, and then we'll be off and running. So I don't think that Missourians should take some solace in the idea that it isn't finished yet. It's just very, very hard to see how Missouri would come up with anything matching Kansas, or that you know, Kansas would backtrack having made this announcement.
A lot of people have commented on this being a bad deal for the state. And my open yesterday was, this is the agreement that American cities have made to have NFL teams. And people can be mad and frustrated about it. But if you want the Chiefs, if you want the Royals, if you want to have professional sports in your city, it largely requires you to kind of reach one of these agreements with the team in order to have it. So I understand if the terms don't seem super favorable to the state of Kansas, but I also don't think that Kansas has a lot of leverage in this situation. You have an opportunity to have an NFL team. You are the smallest state that would have an NFL team. You are going to have to give up a substantial amount of money to take them away from Missouri.
Yeah, I think all of that is true. And I would add one other thing. I think that there is a case to be made for this agreement, Carrington. It's too bad that Governor Laura Kelly and the Chiefs don't know how to make that case, because they've said things like, oh, it's no tax increase, and which is silly. But the case is that Jackson County and Missourians broadly and Kansas Cityans have carried the freight for two professional sports franchises for half a century, almost by themselves. And it is probably time for Kansas to pick up the burden of at least one of those franchises, maybe for the next 30 or 40 years. I mean, Kansans, who of course enjoy the Royals and Chiefs, have been getting off scot-free, really, for, no, scot-free is an exaggeration, but they certainly haven't paid as much as Jackson Countyans and Kansas Cityans and Missourians for those teams since, you know, the 1970s. So the case is that it's Kansas' turn. And I wrote a column the day after the vote failed in April of 24, saying maybe it was time for the Chiefs to look at Kansas for that exact reason. So you're exactly right, though, to say that this is the price of poker, particularly in cities like Kansas City or Minneapolis or Cleveland or Indianapolis or some of the middle cities in professional sports leagues. You know, Los Angeles can support a couple of stadiums or have people wealthy enough to build them out of their own pockets. But that just isn't the case here. So that's the case for it. Now, is this the best deal Kansas could have gotten? We'll have to wait for that judgment. I mean, because it's so hard to know what the Chiefs would have settled for in the end. They're going to get every dime they can get, and they got a lot of dimes, let me tell you, in this deal. So we'll have to see how that shakes out, how the bonds are issued, whether the cities and counties join in participating in the bond setup, how the stadium is built. One of the things I tweeted about today, and this is an interesting wrinkle that I haven't seen reported on, is, as you know, in Jackson County, Jackson Countyans get preference for playoff tickets and season tickets, and for the Royals, too. That preference is written into the current lease, but we've heard no talk about that in Wyandotte County or Johnson County. So my guess is that goes on the table as well, whether there will be some sort of ticket preference for those residents because of their support. But the case for me has been that Kansas has basically been a free rider for a long time, and you can make the case that this agreement finally puts them on the hook for some of the cost of having the pro franchises that we both enjoy.
Right now, we're joined by Dave Helling of the Kansas City Star. We're talking about the money portion of the Chiefs moving over to Wyandotte County and the deal between the state and the team. Dave, I want to go back to something you said. You called it silly, where the governor is saying that this is not a tax increase. Why did you use the term silly?
Well, because, first of all, it's foregoing future tax revenues for at least 20 years Now, just think for a minute how much money that involves and how that money might be used in Kansas in another way. And that has to be made up somehow. You know, if you said, I've used this analogy before, but if you said, hey, I'm Kansas, I figured out a way to buy cotton candy for every person in America without raising taxes, your first reaction would be, well, isn't there something better to spend it on than cotton candy, even without a tax increase? So the tax part of it is less important than the spending part of it, which will be easily, when you include interest, $3 billion by the time it's over. That is a lot of money coming from the pockets of taxpayers, even if there's not a tax increase involved. Remember, the April 2024 vote also did not include a tax increase for the chiefs and royals. It just extended an existing tax. And there was a great debate at the time whether that meant a tax increase or not. But the more fundamental thing is public spending for a stadium, for a sports franchise. That's what we need to focus on, and not whether there is some accounting trick to make it look like there's no cost to citizens when there clearly is.
Dave, one of the wonders of my job is I can just spout off my opinion, and I love talking to people like you because you're a Big J journalist. You've been doing this a long time. That's why I got a lot of respect for you. I don't think that the Chiefs ever wanted the vote to pass in Missouri. I felt like their entire renovation plan was really, really half-assed. And then when I now find out that they have been working with Olathe behind the scenes for 2 years from this practice facility, I think they were always positioning themselves to go over to the state of Kansas. Is that how you view this? Do you kind of view this as this was always the plan for the Chiefs, that they were always going to take the money and run to Kansas?
Yeah, you may be more convinced of that than I am. First of all, you talked about, Carrington, how long I've worked on this story. I produced a one-hour primetime special for Channel 4 in Kansas City on the Chiefs and Royal Stadiums in 1988. So that's how long I've been following the story, whatever that math would be, and the twists and turns, which fascinate me as a political reporter. But I don't think I think it has been and was well known that the Chiefs were looking for a new practice facility and a new headquarters separate from either an improved stadium or a new stadium. So it doesn't surprise me that they had been talking with Olathe for a couple of years, irrespective of what decision they were going to make on the stadium. Now, when Missouri put its incentive offer on the table, Missouri said, hey, look, if we give you this money for a new or improved stadium, you have to build your new headquarters and practice facility in Missouri. And at that point, I think it sort of forced the Chiefs' hand because they really wanted to go into Johnson County potentially for this adjacent facility. So I don't think they're completely linked, but you're right to be suspicious. You know, the April 24 vote was just really a disaster, wasn't it? Because it was on the Chiefs' part, half thought out, rushed. It didn't really add anything to the discussion. And then the Royals' decision to build in Crossroads at the last minute really angered a lot of people. And I think Kansas Cityans and Jackson Countyans are ready to help support franchises. They understand, as you pointed out, this is just what you have to do to play poker, but they don't want to endorse half thought out, half realized plans. And the both teams in 24 just weren't ready. So I don't think that they always wanted to go to Kansas, but when that vote happened and then the Missouri package came up, I think that sort of pushed them closer to whatever Kansas could offer. And then of course, Kansas came in with this unique tool that can really put a lot of money in their pockets.
Dave, I'm so happy you said that because I led the show with this yesterday. I still firmly believe if the Royals at spring training come to the people of Kansas City, Missouri, and Jackson County with a solid and clear vision for downtown baseball, I think people would rally around it, especially now after knowing that the Chiefs are going to move. You want to keep one of the teams on this side of state line. I think you could really capture people's imagination. But you're right. At almost every single turn, it felt like the Royals just tripped over themselves and couldn't accurately communicate what their vision is. They now have had 2 years to think about this thing. thing. The next time that they talk to the Kansas City public and the next time they talk to Jackson County, if they have all their ducks in a row, I still firmly believe that people will support their vision.
Yeah, I agree with that. And trust me, there were conversations had 2 years ago with officials in the Chiefs and the Royals organizations telling them they had to be more transparent about what they were doing. And for whatever reason, they just weren't. That's not how politics works in any city in America in the 2020s. You have to be upfront and clear with the public, or they'll just say no. And it's exactly what happened in 2024. And I've been disappointed, frankly, with the lack of transparency since then. But I think there's still a chance for the Royals to do something special. And I do think Missouri will be potentially very aggressive in trying to keep the team on the Missouri side. Having said that, I think Laura Kelly missed a real opportunity at the announcement for the Chiefs to say, in essence, this is it. We're not going to bid for the Royals anymore. This really is far out on the limb as we want to get, and the Royals should make their deal with Missouri. That would cut the cost to Missourians and maybe ease some of the hurt feelings that people now have about the way this was handled. And as you know, the opposition to the Kansas site for the Royals is growing daily from residences and business owners at 119th and Knoll who are saying, we just don't want a big baseball stadium in this location. So she didn't do that. And I think that was a missed opportunity. But I think by the way, the informal deadline for reaching a deal with the Royals for Star Bonds is tomorrow, December 31st. Now, that's an informal deadline, but it's the deadline the Chiefs faced as well. So if we don't hear anything today or tomorrow about the Royals going to Kansas, it's possible that any deal in Kansas will be off the table anyway. So I think Missouri is still very much in the running for the Royals. I've said for a long time, I still like the East Village site. I think that the need to attract East Side residents to baseball games is important. One of the sites I talked about, which has never been really examined to a great degree, is over by Lowe's Hotel and the Performing Arts Center near the West Side, where, we have so many Latino players now on the Royals that would help draw a Latino audience. But you are hearing 18th and Vine. You do hear Washington Square Park, north of the river. All of those seem pretty valid opportunities. Just quickly, your listeners should know, if the Royals stay in Missouri, the local government is required to participate in some way, some tax abatement, some participation in the package, unlike in Kansas, where local participation is optional. So there will likely be, if they stay in Missouri, another vote either in North Kansas City or Kansas City or Jackson County for the Royal Stadium. And if they're going to do that in April of next year, by the way, they have to get it on the ballot in the next 4 or 5 weeks. So the time frame is crunching, and we should know more about the baseball team within the next 2 to 3 weeks, it seems to me.
Right now, we're talking to Dave Helling of the Kansas City Star, going through all of the possibilities of where the Royals could potentially land. Dave, I always thought the East Village made the most sense for the Kansas City Royals. Why did that deal never come together? And I don't feel like it's ever really been discussed. It feels like right now we are arguing between three locations. 119th and Knoll, which I'm with you, I just don't think is a very good location for them. I'm not wild about the Clay County idea as well, but you could sell me on it. The vision for the Royals is downtown baseball. It is just always made the most sense, but I don't really feel like there's been a lot of traction there. What happened to the East Village idea?
Well, I'm retired now, Carrington, so my journalism is a little bit suspect on this part of the story. But what I was always told was that the East Village fell out of favor because the Royals, as you may know, talked a lot about a surrounding baseball village to the new stadium with hotels and restaurants and bars. And they were going to make some of their money from the development around the stadium. And it was my understanding that the Cordish Company, which runs the Power and Light District, was not real excited about having a competing entertainment district just six blocks away. That was also their concern about the Crossroads site, by the way, which is, you know, we don't want to have more apartments and more hotels and more bars. Now, the Cornish people never confirmed that, but that was the understanding that circulated among the people I talked to, that it was opposition from Cornish early on that caused the Royals and the city to move away from the East Village site. I still think that's the best place to put it, frankly, but if they go downtown, but they're not listening to me very much.
Dave, I don't know if you're a gambling man. If you had to offer up a prediction, where do you think the Royals' future home is going to be?
Well, I think it's Missouri. I mean, I'm not a gambling man, but if I had money to bet, I'd bet on Missouri. I think Missouri will be much more aggressive to put the agreement to paper with the Royals. And frankly, I think Kansas is less aggressive. I think Kansas always targeted the Chiefs. They just, for a lot of reasons, probably preferred pro football to pro baseball. You know, I think one of the discussions early on was to put the Royal Stadium out where the Chiefs, in essence, will go. And that, for whatever reason, fell off the radar. So I think it's more likely than not Missouri. I think it's going to be complicated to get there because there are a lot of financial tools that need to be ironed out and figured out before that happens. And the calendar is getting short. I mean, if you want to be out by 2031, which the Royals do, and next year is 2026, you're not going to have a lot of time to mess around before you have to put pen to paper and start laying bricks. So I think in the next 4 to 6 weeks, we'll see some clarity. I still think it's Missouri. If I had to guess, I think it's downtown Kansas City in the Jackson County area. But that seems less certain to me than the Clay County option. But I think the Royals are beginning to understand that if they want to build at 119th and Knoll, they're going to face some pretty serious opposition, a lukewarm state of Kansas, difficulty on that site. I just think there are more hurdles there than they've admitted.
I told Mayor Lucas this when he came on the show after the announcement. I think you saw a lot of this. Like, a lot of people are disappointed. And you know this as somebody who's covered politics and sports in this region for a long time. Like, people's identity is tied up into whether you grew up on the Missouri side or the Kansas side. Sure, we are all from one metro, but it's just different. And it's hard to explain it to people who are not from this area. If the Royals end up moving to Kansas too, people who are from Kansas City will be broken in a way that I'm not sure if the politicians fully understand. So to everything that you're saying, I think it now becomes imperative. If you are Mayor Quentin Lucas, this will be on your resume and there's nothing you will be able to do about it. But you have a chance to still salvage this thing and you have a chance to be the person who brought the Royals downtown. You were never going to do anything about the Chiefs, in my opinion. But if the Royals go to 119th and all, the people of Kansas City and Jackson County, they will be broken beyond repair, in my mind.
Well, that's pretty aggressive, Carrington, but it will be a severe blow. Now, whether Quentin Lucas bears the blame is an interesting question because, of course, the deals the teams have now are with the county, not the city. The city really isn't involved other than to send a couple of million dollars a year to the maintenance fund. But having said that, though, you're right on the politics of it. People will probably blame Quentin Lucas, certainly more than maybe Frank White, who they kicked out of office, or Phil Lavota. So I think I think the mayor will work hard to try and put a deal together. There are facilities and mechanisms that would allow it to happen. Missouri is at the table in terms of a significant financial package for the Royals, and the Royals have much more of an impact financially on a community than the Chiefs do. The Chiefs play 10 games a year. You know, the Royals play 81 games at their stadium. So that's more money for the bars and restaurants and hotels than the Chiefs could ever generate. The Chiefs, you know, about 800,000 people a year go to those games. That's about a third of how many attend the Royals in a good year. So when they play well. So I just think all the arrows point to downtown Kansas City, Missouri. I could be dead wrong. Have me on in 2 weeks, and I'll have to admit that I was way off base. But I think that seems to me more likely than the alternative, which is 119th and all, and another $2 billion in star bonds, and another press conference, and another explanation from both sides about what happened.
That is Dave Helling of the Kansas City Star joining us on the show. Dave, I'm really big on giving people their flowers. As journalism is changing, we need more people like you in the way that you conduct yourself, in the way that you have reported on this. It was really, really an honor to have you join us on the show today to tell us what you know. Tell us what you think.
No, it's great. And let me just throw this in quickly. I'm fully retired. I write a little bit for the Kansas City Star, but I'm not with the Kansas City Star anymore. I don't want them to get mad at me, but I did work there for about 20 years. And as I say, I've covered this issue for 40 years in this community. And it's such an important story because you're right. This is how we identify ourselves. And it's how, Carrington, we come together. There are very few things left that unify our community as much as the Chiefs and Royals. And so what happens to them is at the top of the agenda as far as I'm concerned.
That is Dave Helling joining us on the show today. Dave, happy holidays. Really appreciate your time.
Yeah, man. You too.
Absolutely. That is Dave Helling joining us on the show today. Some very, very interesting things from Dave Helling. We'll react to it coming up on the other side. This is our final show in 2025. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to say a special thanks again to Dave Helling for coming on the show. I thought it was really, really informative. Someone sent this in over the course of the interview. Carrington, I dare you to ask Dave to say one good thing about the Chiefs' move to Kansas. Well, the purpose of having Dave on was to talk about the business deal between the two sides. And I'm sorry, and I'm not saying this as somebody who hates that they moved over there. Yes, I am Missouri, Jackson County through and through, but I've told you guys this. I've always thought that they were moving to Kansas. It was by far and away the best financial deal. I don't really know if there is anything good to say about the business deal between these two sides other than it keeps the team in the region. The Chiefs got everything in the deal. So I think the they stay in the region is just sort of the point that everybody is on the same side of. Maybe you are one of those Missouri people mad and angry. Man, you will eventually get over it. Sure, you got to drive 25 minutes in the other direction now to go to the stadium, but you still have an opportunity to go to the games. They're out by where you've gone to a NASCAR event. They're out by Sporting Kansas City. Everybody in the city at some point has bought something from Nebraska Furniture Mart. It's the best place to buy furniture in the city with the widest selection and the best prices. So people in Missouri will get over it. But that was the deal. Hey, you give us all of these things, and in return, we stay here. So I don't know if we can have a single business person on, whether they're from the area, not from the area, a neutral observer that read through the 33-page term sheet. I don't know if we can find a person that can tell you overwhelming positives in this, because I don't really know if they exist other than you get the team, which is an obvious overwhelming positive. That's number one. That's the thing I cared about the most. I mean, I don't want the Royals to go to 119th and all, but if the options are 119th and all in New Orleans, well, rock chalk if those are the two scenarios that we got. So, yeah, I don't know if you can talk about the business deal between the two sides and then tell me how great of a deal it is for Kansas. I don't think it's a great financial deal for Kansas, but you get the Kansas City Chiefs. It's your job to now figure out how to maximize the opportunity of having an NFL team in your state.
That's the part. And Dave was fantastic, and you can catch on the podcast page. That's the part that I think that the business side can't really account for now because it's an unknown. You know, what the Chiefs moving to Kansas means for the state of Kansas based on, like, the, hey, now so-and-so is staying at Kingdom Plaza at the Hyatt at the Kingdom Resort as opposed to downtown. Like, those things are the trickle-down effect of having the Chiefs. We can't answer those things because we don't know what events, what games, all those things are coming to Kansas. But right now, the Chiefs got everything they wanted. Long term, I imagine Kansas' hope is by getting the Chiefs over, we gain in the long run. That's how this deal basically came together. I also think what Dave said is important here. He made it seem like putting the practice facility as part of the ballot in April was a real killer for the Chiefs in Missouri, because the Chiefs have always been kind of openly thinking about leaving from a practice facility point of view. And that may have been a real problem on the April vote.
Yeah, no, and that makes sense. And the other thing, and it goes along with what I said, and I'm not just referencing this because Dave, I guess, agrees with me, is I'm sorry. There is only one location for the Royals that will make us as a community happy. I do not think that people are excited about the 119th and all idea. I don't think the community surrounding where the stadium is going to be. I don't think people on Missouri are excited about the possibility of driving over there for a Wednesday game. I don't think the 119th and all idea is a good one. In fact, I think it is the worst idea that they have. I don't think that people want the stadium to be there. I don't think people want the stadium also to be in some random location off K-10. I don't think that changes any of their problems that they currently have as an organization. The only idea that will excite the public and get people fired up and looking forward to the stadium is if they put it somewhere in downtown Kansas City. Now, I don't know if anybody could disagree with what Dave said. Their first plan is bad. It's bad. It was not a good plan. Their plan was give us the money and allow us to figure it out. I don't think you can come to taxpayers who paid more in property tax, who are paying more in inflation, who can't afford to buy a home. I don't think you can go to those people and say, hey, we want more of your money. And even if you don't like the plan, give it to us. I don't think that works. But I will maintain this until we are done with this conversation. If John Sherman in 3 weeks comes to the people of Jackson County with a clear and concise and community-supported idea for a downtown stadium, I think Jackson County would pass the vote. I firmly believe that. There was not a single community group on board with their idea. I know we have put all of this on KC Tenants. They were not the only people that were opposed to their idea. The people in the Crossroads didn't want this. I don't think the public. I don't want the stadium to be there. I mean, I'd rather it be there than in Kansas, but that's not where I would put the stadium. There's other places and other ideas of where to put it, and I just think they have to find it, and maybe it takes a little bit of time. Maybe the Royals don't get what they want, and they got to stay at Kauffman Stadium past 2031 and stay there till 2032 or 33. The stadium's not falling apart. The extra 2 years are not going to kill you. You get one shot to get this right. This is your home for the next 30 years. So make the right decision, and don't just run to 119th and all. There's only one part of the city that will get people fired up about where the stadium is. There's only one. And I agree with them. If you're in Missouri, if this don't get you up off your ass and get something done, then nothing will. You've already lost one team. If this can't motivate you to get a deal done and motivate you to get all of your ducks in a row and come to the Royals with a plan of how to pay for their vision, then all of you deserve to be fired. All of you deserve the blemish that you'll have. Mike Kehoe, Mayor Quentin Lucas, Phil Lavota, Frank White, all of you deserve it. It's go time now. You got to figure out a way to keep the Royals on the Missouri side. It's that simple.
I 1,000% agree with you. And right now, a common sentiment on social media, on the text line, among fans is, you know, there's a frustration that Clark Hunt took the money. If you think there's a frustration from Chiefs fans with Clark Hunt, let the Royals leave. That frustration will be cranked up 10, 15, 20 times higher, but it won't be cranked up on John Sherman. It'll be on every single politician on the Missouri side. Mayor Lucas, I mean, Dave Hellig pointed out that the city didn't have really a lot of impact. It doesn't matter. He's the face of the city. He's going to have to hold the L. Frank White got fired. Doesn't matter. He's got to hold an L. Phil Lavoda, welcome to the job. If you don't keep the Royals, you're going to have to hold the L. Governor Mike Kehoe. I mean, there's probably people behind the scenes in Jackson County that I can't even name right now that are part of this situation. It is going to be a massive failure, and fans are going to be irate with all of those politicians if the Chiefs leave and you can't get a deal done now with the Royals, because the Royals are the only game in town. You should be able to give them everything they want and more. But if you can't get that done, all of them have to hold L's.
Text line 913-586-7965. C-Dot, my brother, stadium talk day in and day out. Can we talk about the Royals offseason possibilities? The Royals ain't doing nothing. No, I'd much rather talk about the stadium than the hypothetical outfielders the Royals can get. I'm sorry to tell you that. You know whose fault this is? This is not my fault. It's the football team's fault for being eliminated on December 4th. That's their fault. I didn't have anything to do with them being the most disappointing team in the National Football League. Someone on the text line just sent in, isn't that what Frank White thought about the April 2024 plan, however poorly articulated by him? Absolutely. This is the analogy I'll make for Frank White. And some of you have been in this situation with a woman before, or a partner, a spouse, whatever. It's like when you keep suggesting somewhere to eat and they tell you they don't have an appetite for it, but they never tell you what. I don't think that Frank White was wrong, honestly. I think Frank White was right. I think the Royals' plan was bad. Does anybody know what Frank White's plan was, though? Can anybody right now articulate to us what Frank White's plan was to keep the Royals and Chiefs in Jackson County? Because I have no clue what it is. None. I have zero clue of what his plan was. So, yeah, if you are going to tell me that this plan is bad or you don't want to eat at this place, all right, when I offer up some more suggestions, you better come with some help or it's usually going to cause a fight and an issue. So that's what I think Frank White's problem was. If you were opposed to the April 2024 plan, a lot of people were opposed to it. It's your job to come up with a plan that people love, that people can help pass, that excites your county. And Frank White did none of that. Coming up on the other side, we'll continue to get to some of my favorite stories of the year. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive, brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Someone on the text line asked this question. CDOT, if you could trade the Royals for any other professional sports team, which sport and who would you trade for? I think there's only like four or five teams that would really make sense. Like, I don't think trading for the Lakers makes sense. Like, the Lakers are the Lakers because they're in Los Angeles, for example. Like, if they moved to Kansas City, they wouldn't be the Lakers anymore. Like, part of it is Jack Nicholson sits courtside and the celebrity. Like, yeah, they're not the Lakers if they moved to Kansas City. I think it's like five NBA teams that would make sense. It's like the Thunder, the Nuggets, the Minnesota Timberwolves. So, yeah, tomorrow, if you gave me the opportunity to straight up trade the baseball team that has had, I don't know, five good seasons in my entire life, and I could trade that for the Oklahoma City Thunder, in a heartbeat, I would do that. In a heartbeat, I would trade them for the Minnesota Timberwolves. But, yeah, I think those are like the only teams. There's no hockey team. Maybe you guys would want a hockey team. I'm okay. I would maybe go to a hockey game once a year if we ended up getting it. I would go to a lot of NBA games if we had an NBA team.
You should have just leaned in and been like, Lakers, Knicks. That's what I want. I want the Knicks. I mean, it's a silly question because...
No, I mean, but I'm saying is the Knicks aren't the Knicks if they're in downtown Kansas City.
They're
only the Knicks because they play in Madison Square Garden and it's Celebrity Row and the culture of the Knicks. That's why they're the Knicks. So I'm saying the Thunder are still the Thunder if they are in Kansas City.
That's fair.
The Minnesota Timberwolves are still the Minnesota Timberwolves. Like, nothing really changes. There's no prestige with them. It's just cool to have an NBA team. If that's the case, the Spurs are still the Spurs if they're in Kansas City. That is not the case if the Los Angeles Dodgers moved to Kansas. No, they're not the Dodgers anymore then.
I just think if we apply that to a lot of sports, you'd be shocked to see how many teams exist as a big thing because they're still, like, 100%. The Yankees are the Yankees because of New York.
For sure.
I would say as much as the Mets are kind of laughing stock, the Mets are the Mets because they're in New York, they have the new state, the whole deal, same thing.
For example, I mean, one of the reasons why the Cardinals are so cool is a city of that size loves their team like they're the Red Sox. The fact that the Cardinals have been as culturally relevant as they've been for the last 50 years, despite the market that they are in, is a true accomplishment. There might not be anything like it in American sports. Maybe you would argue the Green Bay Packers, but the NFL is just kind of designed for everybody to have a chance. It's not really how baseball is. The fact that the Cardinals, Rob, have always been relevant our entire life in St. Louis, and they have had more success than the Red Sox, as much success as the New York Yankees in our lifetime. The fact that the Cardinals have been that good is remarkable. Like, maybe you could replicate that somewhere else, but I'm not sure if another community would support them the way that St. Louis has come out and made them the center of everything. There are very few cities in America that baseball is their number one, and St. Louis is one of those places.
Maybe this is an unfair comparison. Isn't Oklahoma City that way with the Thunder? Now, maybe it's different because
they don't have any other choices, though. Like, St. Louis at one point had a football team, a hockey team, a basketball team, and they have always loved the Cardinals through all of those things. That is not the case in Chicago. As popular as the Cubs are, that's not the most popular team in Chicago. As popular as the Red Sox are, they're not more popular than the New England Patriots. St. Louis is the only place that I would say baseball is their number one favorite sport. I would say that basketball in New York City is kind of the thing. There might not be a city where the basketball team is the most popular team, where you would argue when the Knicks are good, the Knicks are the most popular team in New York City.
I mean, part of that's because the city split with baseball and football too. Like, you know, if New York's a unique market because, like, when the Jets and Giants and Knicks are all good, the Knicks are the unifying force. The other teams split the market.
Nobody cheers for the Nets. 100%. Nobody cheers for the Nets.
Honestly, you can put them on the trade list because the Nets do not have a culture at all. The Nets just exist. And you know what? They have a Jayhawk and a Tiger. They'd be great here.
No, I don't want them because the Nets, you know what? For the most part, they stink. Minnesota's good. The Thunder are good. The Thunder are, like, well-run. The Thunder have been good for 15 years. Minnesota's been relevant for most of our adult life. That's not the case with the Nets. Please don't. The Nets are one step above the Charlotte Hornets. I don't want them. I'm not trading. We already got the Charlotte Hornets in Kansas City. Why am I trading for somebody else's version of that team? All right, this was a story that I really enjoyed that we did earlier in the year. This is a trend that people have.
All right, so there's this new thing blowing up on TikTok, and it's probably going to offend some of you. The trend is putting ice in your beer. I know this sounds a little strange, but the comments, they're kind of all over the place, with some people calling it a total game changer for a hot day or helping you to stay hydrated. while others calling it an absolute travesty since they're basically watering down the flavor. You guys, what do you think light beer tastes like? But what do you think? Is it genius or is this a crime against beer?
Hey, man. People out here are getting the Boulevard Wheat with light ice. Come on now. That's crazy. I've never seen this before. I'm not saying people don't do it. I was like, oh, I do this all the time. No. You're telling me that you go to a place and you have them scoop ice out of the bin, put it into a cup, they go over to the draft, and then they pour you a beer? That's weird to me. That's incredibly weird if that's how you drink beer. I'm sorry.
I'm trying to imagine what situation you would be like, yeah, why don't you ice cold mug? Okay. But like, we just got over Christmas. I was at, you know, a couple different houses, the in-laws. Glass of wine, I don't think a couple cubes of ice is weird. But if I was like, hey, I got can I have a space camper and ice it down for me? I'd be kicked out of the function. Immediately kicked out.
Someone on the text line says, I just got back from 2 months in Asia and ice and beer is standard there. I would have to ask for no ice. Very strange. Yeah, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine you get an ice cold Boulevard Wheat and then they put ice in it. That's nuts to me. It really is. That's nuts. Someone said, what about a shandy? I would say a shandy is a little bit of a different kind of drink. Like if you're telling me that you're putting lemonade in it and it's like much more of a sweet drink, I would say that it's more like a cocktail than a beer in that case. But you're telling me that I'm at a steakhouse and I'm drinking a Stella and you want me to with a beer on ice? No, thanks. I got no interest in that. Someone on the text line says, C-Dot, are you going to replay Mario's call? I don't think you'll ever hear Mario's call again. Am I allowed to tell him what happened?
No.
I can't tell him?
No.
Well, all I'm going to say is everybody didn't find Mario's phone call funny.
That's a good way to say it.
Everybody didn't find parts of Mario's phone call funny, and some outside forces got involved with Mario's phone call. So I don't think you're going to be hearing not on this. You can maybe hear it on the internet. I'm sure it's still alive on the internet. You know Rob Management now. He can't even laugh and joke about it.
It's available on our Instagram, I believe, but it's not available over the air. I'm telling you.
At this point, if Mario's call plays again, I'm probably the one in trouble. It's not every time you get a phone call where somebody's like, hey, can you do you have the information for this person? No, I don't. I don't know anything about it. No, Moss, I didn't take the phone call. I had to remove myself from the group chat when it came to that. I had no parts of it. So, no, we will not be playing Mario's. In fact, Rob, delete it out of the system. I don't want to accidentally play Mario's phone call.
Poor Nathan got thrown under the bus. Yeah, I know nothing about it. This is the person that screened it. He's in charge.
For sure. I mean, the cops wanted one person's information. I gave them Nathan's. Nathan's the one that did it. I pointed to Nathan on the stand. I have nothing to do with that. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, how have we got to the point where now I have to defend Darren Peterson? Like, I really want to be the one that jokes and calls him Darren Porter Jr. But of course, now KU fans have to take one side. And now I got to be on the side of defending the kid. That's not where I want it to be, but I have to. We'll do it next. Keep it right here as the drive.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.